Well, welcome to Family Church Mayville. As Brother Josh mentioned earlier, my name is Scott Wise. I'm the associate pastor of the Fredonia Family Church. And of course, your pastors are out of town enjoying a well-deserved vacation this week. Amen. And I'm just excited to be here in Mayville, driving out here today. The opportunity to fill in, I was so excited about it, driving out here even more so, because we know fun things happen when I come to Mayville. And they still invite me back. That's the crazy part. Praise the Lord. Well, we bring us the word this morning, and the word is a help and a blessing to us. Amen. And I just want to say this, and I know you all know this, but just to be reminded of it, you are so blessed under the Michener's here in this church. Amen. That, you know, they've laid down their life for the sake of the gospel to bring it to Mayville, New York, and God's called you to sit under that ministry. And what an honor. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I encourage you to be constantly thanking God for them, lifting them up in prayer. Amen. As they've had this time away, you know, I know they'll be back soon, but of course, still lift them up for a time of refreshing and that they come back recharged and ready to bring home whatever they got on vacation. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Yesterday, I had this whole thing written out for a sermon I was going to do this morning, and then I woke up this morning really early, and the Lord done changed it on me. Apparently, I was going to do my own thing, but we want to do what He wants, right? Amen. We're going to talk about being found faithful today. Being found faithful. We're going to see, you know, this is important to me as one that serves someone, but we're not just going to talk about serving today. We're going to talk about really being full of faith and what we do for God. Amen. Faithfulness, being full of faith, is what separates us from religion, yes. Right? We can come to church, we can fill seats, we can check off everything we're supposed to do, cross every T, dot every I, but if our hearts aren't attached to what we're doing, it's for nothing.
That's right.
It's for nothing. And so we want to be sure that everything that we do for Him, for the kingdom, that we're found faithful in it, that we attach our faith to Him, and in doing so, we please Him. Yes. Amen. That's what all of us want, isn't it? To be pleasing to the Father. So let's pray as we get into the Word this morning. Father, thank You for an opportunity to look at Your Word today. We thank You that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Father, we thank You for helping it. We thank You that as we look in it, we look as into a mirror and we're changed from glory to glory into the image of Christ. And we thank You for speaking through me this morning. Lord, whatever You want said, may that and that alone be what's said here today. And we give You praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I told you to turn there, but I didn't turn there yet. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're just going to read one verse there and then flip around a little bit. It's good to look in all the Bible, right?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." That a man be found faithful. This, we could say, is the golden scripture for faithfulness.
Yeah.
It's the golden scripture for how God wants us to behave as children, right? Now, Paul is talking specifically here really about ministers and saying that this word faithful also means trustworthy, and that if someone's going to be a minister of the gospel, they need to be trustworthy.
Yes.
Truth, right? You want to be able to trust the person that you're receiving from.
Yes.
But we can take this as a principle for all of us, whether we're in ministry or not, that if it's required for ministers to be found faithful, God desires that for all of us, that we be found faithful. And like I said earlier, that word faithful literally means full of faith. See, faithfulness doesn't just mean to show up repeatedly, right? It's because it says here, stewards. We're all stewards of Jesus Christ. When you go into your workplace, you're a steward of Jesus Christ. When you go into Tops, there's Tops here in Mayville. We have Walmart in Fredonia, Aldi, if you go to Wegmans, wherever you might desire to shop, when you go in there, you're a steward of Jesus Christ. You're carrying Him with you when you go into those places. And so if it's required of to be found faithful, let's be found faithful. Amen. That faithful word literally means full of faith. I mean, showing up with a supply of faith. When, think about that when we come to church, and I know that you know this stuff. You know, this is just the introduction. I'm not going to share any new revelation with you today. We know that when we come to church, there's two ways that you can come to church.
Right.
You can come to church full of faith or not,
right?
When we walk in these doors, have we prepared ourselves to be in the house of the Lord?
Right. Yeah.
You know, in the Old Testament, worshiped differently than we do, and I'm thankful that we live in the New Testament. Yeah. We have a better covenant based on better promises. Yeah. But they certainly had some levels of consecration that we know nothing about today.
Sure. Yeah.
When they would go into the house of God, he was so specific about what they brought with them, what they talked about when they were in there, what they dressed in when they wore in there. So specific about all these things. Yeah. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
Now, of course, he loves us regardless of these things, right? But to be found faithful means that we come to this place prepared in some way.
Yes.
That we've purposed on the outside before we step through these doors how we're going to be on the inside.
Right, yeah.
That is, we're coming to church. We ought not just to roll out of bed on a Sunday morning. Oh, I have to go to church today. It's not... There's no fruit in that.
Yeah.
We're not going to receive anything with that kind of attitude. People that say church isn't working for them, you got to work church a little bit. Get it to work for you. Man, when we come into this place, come in here, prepare yourself before, when you wake up in the morning, oh, thank God I get to go to church today.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked about this before. The Bible calls our pastors gifts in Ephesians 4, right? I don't know about you, but in my house, the night before Christmas, Christmas Eve, is not a quiet, somber night in the Wise household. Nobody's crying themselves to sleep on Christmas Eve. They don't even sleep on Christmas Eve because they're so excited to wake up on Christmas. Why? And of course, we know Jesus is the reason, but we also, we love presents, don't we? You can't tell me you don't get excited to open some presents on Christmas morning. And if you do, we're going to cast some lion spirits out in Mayville this morning. Everybody loves presents. If our pastors are gifts to us, every Saturday ought to be like Christmas Eve. Because Sunday morning is like Christmas. We get to open up this gift that he has for us, right? And if we're preparing ourselves to be faithful to the house of God, that means that we're doing something with our spirits. We're engaging them with what God wants to do. Amen? We want to be faithful. It says that a steward must be found faithful. You don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Yeah.
It's impossible to please him. People might say, that sounds so harsh. Well, it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Now, let's qualify. It doesn't say it's impossible for him to love you.
Right?
Yeah. We can show up to church unprepared. We can roll out of bed and come in here just having gotten into a fight with our spouse. Doesn't change the fact that God loves us unconditionally.
Right.
We want more than his love, don't we?
Right.
I love my kids no matter what. There's nothing they could do that would ever separate me from my love for them.
Right.
Things that they can do that please me more or less.
Sure. Yeah.
Sometimes they do things that don't please me at all.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do things that really please me, right?
Yeah.
We're the same way with our Father. And of course, he's far above where I am as a father. But it's an example to us that we want to live in a way that we're pleasing to him.
Right.
That we can stand before him one day, and not just that he loves us, and thank God that he loves us. But that he's also pleased with our actions. Amen. And so, if we want to be that way, we want him to say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We need to attach faith to everything that we do for him, right? And we know this. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So if we're talking about having more faith for what we're doing for him, let's look at the faith on that. Amen. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to look at three areas of faithfulness this morning. Three areas of faithfulness. And these aren't the only three, but three fits nicely in the sermon time that I have this morning. So the first one we're going to look at is being faithful in worship. This is the most important one. You know, Matthew 6:33 says what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these other be taken care of when we put him and his things first.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about worship, that is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Seeking the Father, seeking Jesus,
right.
Pursuing him, going after him. Yeah. Bible says that if we'll draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. First step.
Right.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. Once we draw near to him, people say, oh, I feel so far from God. He feels so far away from me. They're not drawing towards him.
Right.
It's easy to get God to feel close to you.
Yeah.
And regardless of what you feel, he's close to you.
Yeah.
But it's easy to press in for more of him.
That's right.
Just take the first step.
Yeah.
As soon as you do that, his ears perk up. Somebody's walking towards me.
Yeah.
And then they run. He runs back at you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 2, talking about faithfulness in worship. starting in verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now there's a lot of church doctrine here. Basically, this is just opening up a letter to the church at Ephesus. We could just say it like that. There's a whole lot there we're not going to get into on a Sunday morning, but that's the gist. Verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. You have borne and hath patience, and for my name's sake has labored and not fainted. So up to this point, he's telling the people at the church at Ephesus, they were being commended for their works. Everything that they were doing in the church was what they were supposed to be doing in the church. Yeah. Everybody was serving where they were supposed to be serving. People are going to church when they're supposed to be going to church. They're operating in all the doctrines that they know of and have revelation of in that day. They're crossing every T and dotting every I.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we could think, okay, this is great. This is the church at Ephesus. I just have to do exactly what they're doing, and I'm going to go through life and be perfectly fine afterwards. But we see all they were doing was going through the motions. Faithfulness, remember, literally being full of faith, it's not an outward activity.
Right.
It shows up on the outside, but faithfulness starts in here.
Yeah.
If I'm not full of faith in here, everything I do on the outside doesn't matter.
Right.
And that's the theme of this morning, and the things that we do for the kingdom of God, that if what's in here isn't lining up with the word of God, it doesn't matter what all my actions are. It's for nothing.
Yeah.
And in worship, it's the same thing. Because here we see, verses 2 and 3, that the church at Ephesus had done everything right, everything they were supposed to do. But what happens in verse 4? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Now, this is in red in my Bible. This is Jesus Christ.
Right.
And he's saying to this church that did everything right, I have something against you.
Yeah.
I never want to be in a position where Jesus is writing a red letter to me saying he has something against me. So if we're gonna let the church of Ephesus teach us a lesson here, right? That we're not going to fall into the same trap that they did. Because he said, why? They had their first love. That's just their way of saying, this way of saying that they forgot the reason for what they were doing. They stepped aside from the purpose behind the foundation of worship. That worship, you know, the words that we have today. I was looking at a church out west the other day. Just, you know, I like to look online and see what else is out there and how other people think sometimes. And I was looking, and they call it a worship experience. There's services. There's not a Sunday morning service. There's a weekend experience. There's a 10 a.m. experience and an 11 a.m. experience. And I get, it's marketing. They're really just trying to change it up a little bit and make it sound fresh and new. But really, it's an opportunity to come and worship God,
Yeah. Which
is what we're doing here this morning, right? But we know this, that our worship of God isn't taking place on a Sunday morning at 10 a.m. It ought not to be anyways.
Right.
If this is the only time that you spend with the Father, you're never going to be able to grow into who Jesus wants you to be.
Right. Yeah.
Never going to experience the fullness of the kingdom of God.
Right.
We're always going to fall short of where he wants us in life.
Yeah.
You know, my kids, I love them, but if I only saw them for 2 hours every week,
right,
I'd have a very different relationship with them than I do.
Yeah.
My kids know that at any time, when I walk in the door, they still run and all greet me at the door. If the Nintendo's on, I have to wait till I'm in the living room. But they still run to greet me. They'll put down the controllers and come and get me.
Yeah.
Why? Because they know me.
Yeah.
They love me.
Yeah.
People know their Father. They don't have to be coerced into loving him. Right? They don't have to have their arms twisted. I don't have to tell my kids to give me a hug because they love me.
Yes.
So if we're not being faithful in our worship, it's a love issue.
Right.
Think back to when you first got saved.
Yeah.
You know, Josh was talking this morning during the announcements about how God has a plan for our life, right?
Yes.
And you remember what it was like before you knew about that plan.
Yeah.
We all can testify to that.
Yeah.
I remember when I got born again, I was so thrilled to know that there was not only a God that loved me, but one that wanted good things for my life. And that meant I would do anything for him.
Yeah.
Remember back that fire that we all had when we first got saved? Something happens along the way and that tends to wane a little bit. What do we do when that happens? We stir up the coals, right? When fire goes down, you got to do something to it. Not just look at it and say, oh, the fire went out. And walk away all cold and grumpy. Put some wood in the thing. stir up the coals a little bit. This floor is slippery. I'm sliding around up here. I kind of like it. I don't know. It's giving a little bit more something. This is a nice carpet. I like that. I haven't preached with the new carpet squares up here. But we have to do something to keep ourselves in love with him. The church at Ephesus, the only reason that they fell prey to what they did is because they were human. And I got news for everybody here in Mayville this morning. You are all human. Even be more human than the church at Ephesus. I'm not going to do DNA tests, but we know one thing is absolutely true, that they fell prey to the same thing that all through church history, all through the history of God's people, that they have fallen prey to again and again and again. That if they don't purpose faithful in worship, if they don't purpose to love him, if they don't purpose to put the right motivation behind what we're doing for him, that it just falls to the wayside. We don't want to fall prey to that. So what did he tell them to do about this when that happened? He said, remember, once you're fallen, repent and do the first work, or else I will come to you quickly, remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent. And of course, here in this church, he's saying that if they don't get right, he's going to take the anointing away from the church. But for us personally, this is a lesson to us that if we've fallen into this, if worship has become just a mundane weekend routine, if I'm just off the list, cleaning the church when I'm supposed to be here, that I have to get up on Sundays, not I get to get up on Sundays, but I have to. And all of us have had these thoughts from time to time. Just because that thought is there doesn't mean, but you know where you are. You know, Paul talked about when we read in 1 Corinthians 4 about being a steward being faithful. He says afterwards, only God can judge me. You know in your heart, between you and the Father, where you're at in your faithfulness with him. And only you can make the adjustment on it. Your pastor can't do it for you. Your spouse can't do it for you. Your friend can't do it for you. Only you can make the change inside of you to repent and do the first works. And it does take repentance to be right in it, right? To be able to say, Father, I was wrong. I missed it. I've stepped aside from the love of Jesus in this, and I've become just doing it because I know I'm real with him. He's your Father. You don't have to put on all the Holy King James verbiage, right? Just, Lord, I missed it. I'm sorry. I started doing it just because I had to and not because I wanted to. If we get right with it, we repent and do the first works. Amen. Like I said, all throughout history, this has happened. You know, in our church, we've been reading through the Bible in a year. And all the time in the Old Testament, you know, right now I think we're in Deuteronomy. But going through all those first five books of the Old Testament over and over, you want to just like reach in and shake the Israelites a little bit and be like, would you guys just get it? Right? Because over and over again, they're going along, everything's going great. Somebody, you know, falls and breaks a pinky. And suddenly, oh, what God? There is no God. I'm going back to Egypt. And then God pulls him right back out and says, no, I'm the God that brought you out of Egypt. Oh, yeah, God, we love you. We love you. Ow. Oh, what God? There is no God. I'm going back to, I just almost tripped him. This is like ice skating up here. We don't want to fall prey to the same thing. We can't think just because we're born again, that's not going to happen to us. Happened to the church at Ephesus that God delivered them. God took you out of something. Yes. He changed your life. Yes. He plucked you out of the fiery pit, molded you in miry clay, and made us a new creation for him. Amen. No matter what we go through, we can't lose sight of that fact. We can't let that fall to the wayside, that knowledge of what he did for us and who he is. Amen. It'll cause us to be faithful in worship. We see it here with the church at Ephesus. It happened in the New Testament. And we, let's see. What? Oh. Mayville time vortex. Every time I come here, time moves faster in Mayville. It happened in modern church history. I was going to take it to you and show you about, you remember the rich young ruler in Matthew? He did everything right. And he asked Jesus, what do I need to do to go to heaven? What do I need to do for salvation? And Jesus said, this one thing you lack, sell everything you have and follow me. It wasn't money, it wasn't the fact that he was rich that Jesus was, it wasn't upset with him, but that he needed, it was something that he loved more than God. He crossed every T, dotted every I, he followed all the Ten Commandments, did them perfectly, but he didn't have love for God behind it. Jesus said that's what he was lacking. In modern church history, we've seen it over and over again. all these different denominations that start up. Remember John Wesley, man of fire. I mean, you want to study somebody that served God, that had a dramatic salvation. Because I love those stories, the men of old where, you know, they'd be out there doing something like Paul's salvation. He was out there literally killing the church. And then he got born again and now was starting the church. I mean, you want to talk about Jesus, right? John Wesley was the same way. You know, he was a man, he was so caught up in religion, so caught up in the doing of what he was supposed to do. But then he met Jesus. And he was so passionate about faith working by love, about grace and faith, that we now have this salvation in Jesus Christ, not by works, but by grace. Yes. And he went there and began preaching that. And the church of God kicked him out for it that he was in, the denomination. So he started preaching salvation out on the streets, out on his father's gravestone. He stood up in a cemetery and preached salvation to people because he was so convinced of this. Yeah. But now that denomination that he started, they're not doing anything. I shouldn't say that. I repent. I shouldn't say that. There are people in that denomination that are doing things for God. But as a whole, that same power that he started it with, it's not there. You can see that there's something lacking in that. What happened? They began to just do what he taught instead of having a relationship with the Father. See, we have spiritual leaders. I have my pastor. You have your pastor. My pastor has his spiritual parents, you know, Dr. And Brother Hagin, these men, that great men and women of God have served God faithfully, and you can see that in their life. But we don't do what they say just because they say to do it. Right. We follow their instruction because it sets up a precedent for us to follow. But if we forget that our relationship with him is first and foremost, right, my pastor can't and won't tell me to do something that violates what God is telling me to do. When I know that I know what God is telling me, it will always line up with what God is telling my pastor. Right. And if one of us is hearing differently, one of us is wrong. Yeah. And usually it's me. I mean, let's be real, right? Usually it's me. But there have been times where I've felt to do something and he felt differently and I went my way and God blessed it. And that's okay. That's how things ought to be, right? I lend myself to his instruction in my life, but if I'm only doing what he says or what the church says to do, or, you know, all these requirements for my position that I'm supposed to do, but I'm missing him, it's for nothing. Faithfulness in worship. Faithfulness to worship. Practice this at home. You know, that's how you learn it in the church, that show up to your devotional times with faith. When it's time to read your Bible, it's not a chore, right? It's not a burden. Oh, have to read my Bible this morning before I can do anything else. No, get excited about it. Yeah. Amen. And I stand up here, I'll show off my sin for you because I have a microphone this morning. I've missed it time and again in this area. Sure. Ugh, I have to do devotions before I do anything else today. And then as I'm doing it, just in the sense, you know, in the inside, Lord's like, do you really have to? No, Lord, I want to. I want to spend time with you. And then you laugh and say, oh, Father. It's just me. You repent and move on, right? Yes. Repent and do the first works, and then you get excited about getting in the Word. Yeah. And if you have to, put yourself up on it, you know? Before you open the Word, before you even open the pages of it, God, I'm so thrilled. I get to spend time with you today. Yeah. I get to hear your Word. I get to read what you wrote to me. I get to find out your plan for my life. Yes. Worship him for just a minute. You're now putting faith, remember, faithful. Yeah. You're putting faith into what you're doing for him. Change, right? Amen. Treat tithing this way. Yeah. Tithing's not the same as just paying a bill. And if you start treating it that way, there's something that needs to be realigned there. Yes. If I can go down and with the same feeling on the inside, with the same lack of emotion in my body, with the same maybe disgruntledness or frustration, write my national grid check or whoever you have around here for electric, write my national fuel check, write my tithe check, and there's no difference in my transaction inside of me, I've missed something. Yeah. Faithfulness in worship is in every area. Yeah. My tithe, my offering is an act of worship to him. And I ought to have my heart attached to that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just last month, the Lord was, you know, helping me with this. Because it's so easy for some. My personality is to work. I want to get things done. Right? I want to do things. I want to be effective. I don't want to waste time. I don't want to just be down here, you know, floating along for no purpose. I know what my job is and I know how to do it. And when I don't, I go to him, of course. But as I was last month, we were doing MTC, the Ministry Training Center in Fredonia. I was preaching. I think I did a Saturday night in Corey. I did a Sunday morning in Fredonia, and then I did three services Sunday night in MTC. It was a marathon weekend. But as I got into, it was after the Sunday morning service, I remember going and just feeling like something was off. Something was wrong, you know? And I went to the Father. I was like, Lord, you know what? I diligently prepared for this. I put the time into it. You know, I got before the people. They said they were blessed by it. I don't care what they say. I mean, it's the Word of God. So, sorry, the people are not my gauge of whether I'm preaching the Word or not. I can't live that way because I've preached in churches where there is no response whatsoever. So I can't, your amens, really, they have no effect on me. I mean, I do like them, though, so you keep coming. But I got before him that afternoon. I'm like, Lord, you know, did I miss it somewhere? What's going on? And he said, I just want you. And I realized in that moment, I'd put all of the method into preparing for that weekend. I'd spent the time I was supposed to spend. I'd studied what I was supposed to study. But I missed him. And so I just got before him and just, with 5 minutes, just fellowshipped with my Father, loved on him, worshiped, spent some time in the Word, not studying or preparing, just because I wanted to spend some time with him. Yeah. And that was just that little switch. Yeah. But all of us should be sensitive to that we're still putting faithfulness in what we're doing for him. Amen? Now, next one, faithful to worship is the first area. The next one I want to look at is being faithful to love. Faithful to love. You don't need to turn here, just for the sake of time, but Ephesians 5:6 says, but only faith, activated and energized and expressed and working through love. King James says, worketh by love. See, we can't be faithful in any arena if we don't first love others. Yes. If we don't put God and his people first, we can't be faithful. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, and verse 1, speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Though I feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Spells it right out for us. Yeah. We could do everything for the kingdom that we're supposed to do. Sure. But if I'm not loving my brethren, yeah. And not just my brethren, this just says love. Yeah. If I'm not loving the unlovable, right? If I'm not loving left-wing people who think differently than I do, if I'm not loving the people who walk into the church that don't dress like I dress, how do I look at them? What's my first reaction? Right. Of course, I'm going to give them a hug because I'm supposed to, but what's on the inside of me? When I'm in Walmart and I see that person that I had a spat with years ago, do I avoid them and go down a different aisle? Do I go up to them? Oh, I got to say hi to them. Okay, hi, how are you? It's so good to see you. All they see is the right actions. Right. They see the love. Yeah. They see what they're supposed to see, but on the inside, there's no faithfulness in my love. There's nothing on the inside that's reflecting what's on the outside. See, we can fake it on the outside all day long. Church at Ephesus faked it. I guarantee that at some point in your Christian walk, you have faked it. And there is an act of faith to that fake it till you make it. I mean, there's times where you just got to put it on, no matter how much you don't feel like it, no matter how much it hurts. But that ought not to be the routine. That time is for us to reach up to something, and then our faith rises up in us to meet that moment, right? When I walk in love with people, when I look at them as God looks at them. And this is hard for us, right? Especially as Americans, we have so many opinions about things. It's our way or the highway. Nobody thinks right about, like I think right about things. Maybe you've never thought that way in your life, you loving Mayville people. I still love you, even though I'm thinking some. If we're not doing this for love, out of love, motivated by love for him, doesn't matter what we're doing. It's for nothing, right? He said there, though I could remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. We know 11:23-24, those great faith scriptures, right? Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. But then we always kind of neglect verse 25. If you have aught against any, forgive them. Yeah. as your Father in heaven forgave you. If we have aught against any, what's aught? It's a lack of love.
Right.
It means that there's not love in there, and our mountains are not going to be moved.
Right.
The things that we're believing for are not going to come to pass,
right,
whether they're personally or for the church, for our body. We're believing for miracles, end time harvest, right?
Right?
We all walk in this place thinking, God, that this is a place that miracles take place.
Yeah.
But if I get in a spat with my spouse and I don't forgive them or they don't forgive me, there's no miracles happening where I am.
Right. Right.
It's heavy stuff, but...
Yeah.
This is the difference between people that are effective for the kingdom, people that can please the Father, and places that are just going through the motions. We don't want to go through the motions, right? We want to walk in love with Him. I was going to go through this in the Amplified, but we don't have time. But just listen to verses 4 through 8. This is what walking in love looks like. Love suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does rejoice in iniquity. That means that when something bad happens to somebody that I think something bad should happen to, I don't get excited about it, right? Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Bears all things. Think about that for a second. That whenever all things, is there anything quantifying in that? Is there anything that it says doesn't qualify for all things? All things. So when somebody does something that hurts me, it doesn't matter what it is. My love ought to be able to bear that.
Yes.
Right? And if it's not, if I'm feeling that, if I'm feeling the weight of that, if I'm down and forlorn and tripped up and I can't talk to my Father because of how other people have treated me, my faithfulness needs work on.
Yeah.
They might need work too, but that's not my business.
Right.
I don't go around looking at my neighbor's backyards and telling them if they need to be mowed. My job is to mow my lawn,
yeah,
right? You take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If we'll walk in love, we'll always succeed for Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Faithfulness does not end there. If we master these two, we have to master these two if we're going to be effective for Him.
Yeah.
Everything else we're talking about goes back to those two, worship of the Father and love for other people. Jesus was so big on these things. The Pharisees, they only went through the motions. And Jesus again and again and again rebuked them because their heart was far from the Father. Their mouths were close to Him. They said the right things, did the right things, looked like they were worshiping, but their hearts weren't attached to it. Jesus corrected it. And through Brother Hagin and, of course, scriptures, we find out over and over again how big Jesus is on love.
Yeah.
That if we don't walk in love with other people, we're not going to be effective.
Right.
Got to be faithful in these two arenas.
Yeah.
And then the last one I want to look at this morning is faithfulness in serving. Turn to Colossians chapter 3 with me. Getting help here today.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, this is good.
Colossians 3. You know, I remember... when I was in third grade, I went through First Communion, and that was the end of church for me after that. I went that far and no further, right? That was no more after that. But there were reasons for it. You know, there were things in my home and stuff. But also, one of the biggest things I remember as a third grader, was that 9 years old, 9, 10, something like that? 9 years old, I remember going to First Communion class, and I idolized my priest. At the time. I mean, I idolized this guy. I thought, because he's a genuinely nice man. I still know him today. He is a great man, you know. He loves God as much as he knows how to. And I remember being in First Communion class, and we walked in there, and it was, I think, like a Thursday or Friday night. You know, all the kids are in there with their parents, and they're finding out what they're supposed to do and when we actually go up and receive First Communion and everything. And I remember he opened up the time and said, all right, everybody, let's get this over with. The Friends finale is on tonight. As a 9-year-old, I remember thinking, if it doesn't matter to him, why am I here?
Yeah.
If this is just something for him that he needs to check off so he can get home and watch TV, what's the purpose of this? And I remember I told my folks after that, I said, I don't want to go anymore. I'll finish on this far, but I'm done after that. They don't want to be here. Why do I have to be here?
Yeah.
Well, what happened? You know, this guy, I believe he loves God, but he fell prey to the same thing that so many of us have time and again. He's just going through the motions. We can't allow ourselves to let our faithfulness, our level of faith, we could say, drip to such a level that it becomes just mundane routine for us to be in the house of God. It is an honor to freely worship the Father. You read stories about what's happening in other countries where they can't even, you know, I've read stories online about folks in China that they're being brought in and literally tortured to the point that they don't admit, that they'll say Jesus isn't real. That they're tortured until they'll say they'll renounce their faith. And it's not a matter of, you know, believe in Jesus or die, because a lot of people could do that, right? Because they know, oh, the hope on the other side, and I'll get a crown in heaven when I die. Jesus is real, kill me. I mean, I would do that. I think we all would, given the opportunity. But can you imagine no end in sight, torture, just for the fact that you love God? And yet in America, you have to twist people's arms to get them into his house. We have such a freedom here to worship the one that can change eternities, to worship the one that can raise the dead, that can heal the sick, amen, that can bring prosperity to the poor, the one that brings increased blessing to all of us. We can freely worship him. And if we don't recognize inside of ourselves that we're not here just for the routine of it, we're missing out on the whole purpose. He wants our hearts. That's what he's after. Talking about faithfulness and serving, Ephesians 4, verse 7, you don't need to turn there, says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ. See, we all have gifts that are meant to be used for the kingdom of God. Once we're born again, these gifts that are inside of us, Ephesians 4 talks about the fivefold ministries, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but it opens up talking about gifts that all of us have been given. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us about the body of Christ and that God has a plan and a purpose for each member of that body.
Yes.
You don't have anything useless in your body.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are some appendixes in the body of Christ. And I know the MTC people, and Allison heard this in Fredonius. I use the same jokes over and over again. I'm sorry. There's only so many out there, right? But there's a lot of appendixes in the body of Christ. You know what that is? They're people that you don't hear anything from until they act up and you got to kick them out,
right?
Yeah. There's too many of those out there.
Yeah.
That's one part in a body, in your body,
yeah,
right? And there's too many of that in the body of Christ. But every organ in your body, every cell in your body has a purpose,
yes,
has something that it was designed by God to do,
right,
just naturally.
Yeah.
So that represents for us, the body of Christ, that all of us, once we're born again, there's something that he has for us to do.
Yes.
Doesn't have to be fivefold pulpit ministry. Could be as simple as something. Just faithfully clean the bathrooms.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell you, as an associate pastor, to have someone that would faithfully clean the bathrooms, they get a crown in heaven.
Yeah.
That I don't have to think about who's doing it this week. Is it a good enough job? Is the toilet paper going to be filled? Did they wipe down the top and the bottom of the toilet seat? I mean, someone who's faithful to do that, as little as that, that's a purpose in the body of Christ and it helps fulfill what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Amen. If we'll be faithful to find out where he wants us, do what he wants when we're there. Amen. But beyond that point, we also, all of us, experience life outside of church,
yes,
right? Wouldn't it be great if you could get paid just to come to church, make a living out of just walking through these doors every Sunday, that you don't have to do anything else in life, you just come to church every Sunday? That would be great, grand, and wonderful. I don't know about any of you, we haven't been there yet, right? And of course, I mean, I'm on payroll, but I don't get to go to church during the week. I work there, so, you know. But all of us have jobs in some way, shape, or form, whether it's at home with the kids, in a workplace, wherever it might be. And in whatever we're doing, faithfulness in serving in that arena reflects on Jesus,
yes,
right? People see Jesus when they see us.
Yeah.
What did Paul say? That a steward must be found faithful.
Yeah.
People see Jesus when they look at you, whether you know it or not.
Right.
We want to be a good reflection of him,
right,
don't we?
Yeah.
Colossians 3 and in verse 22, it says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, we know servants and masters doesn't have the same meaning that, you know, we think of it today with our impression. Of course, we know 19th century slavery gave us a terrible impression of what the words in the Bible mean. I mean, it was an awful thing, of course, but this was more of an indentured servitude. But it was more of an employer-employee relationship.
Yeah.
That these, you know, servants and masters, it was really saying, because servants were taken care of. They had houses they were given. They had land sometimes that they were given. They had money that they were given. And then when they were sent out with stuff that the master of the house had given to them. It wasn't slavery like we think of it. It was really a pretty good situation for them to be in at the time. But if they, these indentured servants, were required to have this attitude, how much more us of voluntary employment, right? These are mandated people to be in that situation. We have the freedom to choose. How much more should we honor, right? How much more should we reflect that, both in the church and in our workplaces? And this tells us the motivation behind it. Not with eye service as men pleasers. So that's saying not just on the outside, but look at what it says. But in singleness of heart, that's on the inside, fearing God. We can serve well in the church or home or at work because we have a relationship with him. If my relationship with him is in question, it's going to reflect everywhere else. A lot of times, you know, with sicknesses, they'll try and treat the symptoms but not the disease, right? Because sometimes, you know, diseases like the common cold, you'll take medicine to just get rid of the cough and runny nose because there's no cure naturally outside of the word of God for the common cold. Treating the symptoms, not sickness. For us in this situation, you can treat the symptoms. You can do everything right that you're supposed to do. But if that inner part of you, if your heart isn't attached to our serving and what we're doing, whether it's for the kingdom or in the workplace or at home, there's something amiss. He wants faithfulness in us. It says that it's required that we be found faithful. So what does this look like? Verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. That verse 23, I had that taped up on my desk for years and years and years, 3:23, because I wanted to be reminded of it over and over again. Your boss may be the farthest thing from Jesus, may not want to know anything about Jesus, may be so against your faith in Jesus. We've all been in different situations before. May think that they love God, but don't know what it looks like to actually love God. But it doesn't say based on your boss's attributes how we serve. It doesn't say based on what my duties are in the church or who's over my based on that. It's based on one thing, my relationship with him.
Yes.
Okay? That if I serve as unto him, everything around me will look like it's supposed to look. This attitude opens the door for increase, right? So many times I've seen again and again people believe in God for promotion, believe in God for raises and favor and all these things that really should belong to them as children of God. But you have to qualify yourself for that.
Yeah.
If you're slamming your boss behind his back, there's no qualification for raises. You can believe up, down, sideways till Sunday comes. There's no raise coming your way. If you go home and slander that boss, doesn't matter what they've done. We're going to see that in the Word of God. This is part of faithfulness, right? We want to be found faithful. This attitude opens the door for increase. Volunteer for the jobs that nobody else wants. Show up at work. Show up early when you're supposed to serve. Have when the other people get to serve. Oh, I took care of that for you. You don't need to do that. This is faithfulness, right? I know there were a whole lot more amens when I'm talking about just saying I love Jesus, but now I got to do something.
Yeah.
We do.
Yes.
We're saved by grace and not works, but works are crucial after we're saved, right? I don't need works to qualify for heaven. He did that for me. But I need works to please my Father. Amen. Never have the attitude of not my job. Ooh, boy. When I was a supervisor, somebody had that attitude right on the spot. Forget it. We're not around with that attitude. Or if I hear that now, people say that, you know, about something in the church maybe. Okay, there's no room for increase there. There's no promotion there. You're not getting promoted over anything else until that attitude. You know whose attitude that was? That was Satan's attitude.
Yeah.
Not my job.
Because
he said, I want to be like the Father. I want his job. I'm not going to take care of things that aren't my responsibility. I want what he has. How do we look at our bosses? Do we look at them like Jesus did? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This keeps our motivation right. Amen. Are we serving just to be promoted or are we serving to please him? You know, in America, we have this mentality that because we do have the freedom to go find new employment, But that American mentality doesn't reflect, I'm a Christian in my heart,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, I can leave when things are hard or feel unfair, but there's no eternal fruit in that.
Right.
Where can I stand before him and say, oh yeah, it was hard here, so I left and went there. Yeah. Oh yeah, I got that over here, so I left and went there. Yeah. Every job I've been, I've had disagreements.
Sure.
I've had things that I didn't agree with. I was treated unfairly at times.
Sure.
So what? I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
People can treat me however they want to treat me. It doesn't matter what God said.
Yeah.
Of course, I understand there's balance in these things. You know, if things are really, if you're being required to do things that are wrong or violate your spirit, that's a different situation. But generally, people err on the other side of it. That, I don't like that. I'm just going to walk away. There's no glory in that. There's no faithfulness in that. If it's required of us to be found faithful, this is how we do it, right? This qualifies us for increase. Proverbs 28:20 says that a faithful man shall abound with blessing.
Yeah.
We all want that abundance, but we don't want to be faithful.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Let's see. Oh, I don't really have time here, but just what? Oh, praise the Lord. Genesis 39, you don't need to turn there, but just for reference, you can mark it down and read it on your own time because I've taken enough of your time. Joseph, we know him, was one of the sons of Jacob that was sold into slavery by his brothers. We all know the story of Joseph, right? And his heart throughout that whole situation is something for us to meditate on when it comes to faithfulness and serving. Joseph was treated so wrongly over and over and over again. First, he was sold into slavery. I mean, that in and of itself, by his own family. You think you've had family issues? Have you ever been sold into slavery by your family? I mean, talk about dysfunction. But he kept his heart right towards them.
Yeah.
It hurt. I guarantee it hurt him, but he kept his heart right. He kept his eyes on the Father.
Yeah.
When things are unfair, that's when you get to decide what kind of servant you're going to be.
Wow.
In one job that I had, which was the main career that I was in before I came to the church full time, I had started off, and you know, everywhere I've worked, promotion has followed me. I've worked in, you know, fast food and retail, moved up in the company as quickly as was possible. I'd move up, one of the youngest supervisors on staff. I don't say that to boast on myself. These are just principles that we're talking about, right? I put into practice what the word said and the word worked. Imagine that. But in this one place I was in, I started as a copy editor making like peanuts and then ended up being marketing manager for a telecommunications company. Just moved up in the company because I was faithful. Because we were putting these principles into practice. This will work anywhere.
Yeah.
It'll work for anybody. And I remember, you know, I didn't have health insurance in the position that I was in. Didn't have any of that. I don't remember if we were on Medicaid at that time or whatever the situation was, but we didn't have anything. And I remember the boss wanted this guy to come in and fill this position, and he was supposed to be like the savior of our company. He was going to come in and do all the right things. He had all this experience and this portfolio he brought with him, and he was going to change the face of the company forever. Okay, yeah. I look at somebody who's gone from the ground up. I mean, you know, you're right at the top. I got some questions for you. But, and so this guy comes in, and I mean, they laid out the red carpet for him. And I've been here maybe 5-6 years at this point, but they brought this guy in, gave him twice my salary, gave him full benefits, which I'd never had there. Never had any benefits, let alone full benefits. I mean, they just laid it all out for me. And I remember thinking to myself, this is my moment. This is my prison moment. Just like Joseph was sent to prison because he didn't do anything wrong. And I remember thinking to myself, this is it. I need to make a decision right now. Am I going to be tripped up by this? Am I going to go to the boss and demand what's rightfully mine and say, this is unfair. I've been here for 5 years and now this guy comes in and you roll out the red carpet for him. If it was American, it would have felt good, right?
Sure.
I would have been within my rights to do so.
Sure. Yeah.
But I don't care about my rights.
Right.
I want what he wants.
Yeah.
I didn't say a thing. And I had that guy in charge of human resources at the time. So I'm sitting there with 3 little kids at home, no health insurance. And I'm writing this guy's new health insurance policy and rejoicing for him. It's a heart decision that we need to make if we're going to be faithful in the things of God.
Right.
But you know what happened? 2 months later, I got a full benefits package.
Oh,
if I had thrown a fit, if I had walked out that door, I would have thrown away all of that.
Yeah.
All those years that I had built up in that company, all the relationships, everything, I would have thrown it away. The example, people still from that place call me today to ask me for spiritual advice. They don't go to church anywhere, but they know that I love God. It's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I'm a Christian. When we're faithful in these things, as stewards of the things of God, He will always, always promote us. Amen. He will always bring us higher. Praise the Lord. So we've talked about faithfulness today. It's required of us. We have to not just go through the routines of serving, the routines of worship, the routines of what it looks like to love other people. But on the inside, this is all heart on our inside. How are we really in here? When we're right in here, it'll reflect out here. You can fake it all day long, but you and God know. And I want to be right with Him. I don't want to fake it. I want to truly, truly love Him. And if we've missed it, if we fall short in any of these areas, just do what the church at Ephesus was told to do. Repent and do the first works. What were the first works? Of course, repent. God, I'm sorry, I missed it. I stepped out. I haven't been faithful in this, or I haven't been in the right relationship with you. I've just been doing the motions. I'm sorry. And then what? Just worship Him. When you first, and you were so thrilled just to be a child of God. Just to be in the kingdom, just to find out that you weren't going to hell.
Right.
Just start thanking Him for that and that alone. Yeah. If that doesn't stir up joy in you, I don't know what will.
Right.
I'm not going to hell. Thank God. I'm free of the things that bound me. I'm a new creature. Praise God. Stir yourself up on that a little bit. We don't need anybody to do this for us. We have to do this ourselves. Amen? But we will be found faithful. Amen?